You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
And a most pleasant evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. We'll be with you for the next hour talking University of Miami spring football. We're going to conclude our coverage of spring football. We had the spring game this past Saturday. So Don Bailey Jr. and I will take a look at spring football. Alex Dono joins us a little bit later on the show with a preview of Miami's first game, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. We'll get into all of that. And also, we'll take a look around the ACC as spring football has concluded around the league as well. So, for the University of Miami, this past Saturday on campus, another beautiful afternoon, great setting. Hurricanes put on their spring game, and some good stories developed out of that game. I think probably at the top, and you hope this continues. You never know how that works. But, Don, probably at the top, the most explosive player, I think, was the freshman Malachi Toney.
He really was, Joe, and it right at the right time, you know. And the good news is that Malachi has had a very good spring all the way through, and so has Ray Ray. And you have both those guys battling at that position, and you want that type of competition because it brings the best out of both of them, and you're going to need both of them. So for the entire season, they can complement each other. And, you know, if somebody gets worn out, because that position usually doesn't play an entire football game. So you're going to need really two guys at that spot. And when you have a lot of competition going back and forth, it makes everybody better.
Josh spoke with Ray Ray after the spring game. And Ray Ray, he's loyal to the program. He works hard. As far as I know, he doesn't complain. I think a lot of his enthusiasm can be contagious.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he's a great example. He's a young man that's from South Florida. He was recruited, I believe it was by Clemson, out of high school, and he ended up committing to Miami. And he's staying committed, and that's a good thing because it's going to pay dividends for him for forever, like it does for all the local guys that stay here. But he's gotten better, and the good news is he provides a great example for Malachi as far as work ethic goes. Because Ray Ray, since the minute that he stepped on campus, he has always been a guy that won't be outworked, and you see it paying off, and you see the opportunities that he's going to be given because of that.
Corey Heatherman, when he was at Minnesota, the now Miami Hurricanes defensive coordinator, when he was at Minnesota, he was top 10 in total defense. He was ninth in pass defense, ninth in scoring defense. Minnesota gave up fewer than 20 points in 8 of 13 games, and they were top 10 in red zone defense, and probably the play of the game in the spring game. The ball was at the 6-inch line, and any other time, Mark Fletcher scores. The ball was at the 6-inch line. I think Miami had three, or rather the offense had three cracks at it. And Popo Aguirre came up with, I thought, was the play of the scrimmage. He nailed Fletcher right at the goal line.
He really did, Joe. And, you know, let's just go to Popo for a minute before we get to Coach Heatherman. I've seen him from the minute he walked in, and he's just, nobody's outworking him. And he's doing everything extra that he needs to do, whether it's his diet and the nutrition. He's getting extra work. He's in the sauna. He's doing everything that he has to do to maximize his potential. And what's nice about it is that he's almost custom made for Heatherman's defense. He's a powerful guy. And because Miami needs a big, strong backer. They need a guy that can take on the guard or take on the tackle and still make a tackle. And I think you're going to start to see that out of him. And he's developed nicely. And then, you know, as you mentioned, the goal line stand, that's personnel, but it's also the defense. And there was, you know, when you're down at that part of the field, you know, the intensity level changes, the angles change, the amount of field that the offense has to work with changes. And Heatherman had the answer. And to me, I want the defense to be dominant in spring football. That's always worked out for very, very good seasons, if that's the case. And we saw some dominance this spring.
Last year, Minnesota took the ball away 21 times. They had a ton of interceptions. On Saturday, Amari Wallace, Dylan Day, and Isaiah Taylor all had interceptions. We saw Dylan Day contribute on special teams a year ago. Wallace comes in. He's wearing 26. He knows the responsibility of wearing 26. I don't know how much he plays this year. I do know he's got a blue chip body and is a really physical player.
You know, Joe, I think when someone, and it doesn't matter who it is, because we've seen this happen now with the numbers, when someone comes in and takes a number of a legend, there's a responsibility to that. And I don't have a problem with these guys sharing these numbers or borrowing these numbers from the legends. But, you know, the responsibility comes with it, not with you. I mean, for somebody that age to have made some plays that he's made throughout spring is very encouraging.
The offensive line that started in the spring was Bell, Rodriguez, Brockemeyer, Cooper, and Maui Noah. Do you think that's the line we see going forward?
Well, you got a 12-game starter over the last 2 years is McCoy. I think he started 11 games for Miami last year, and he's been out. He was out in spring, and it's going to be hard to keep him on the bench. You know, when you go into the season, you know, the question I'll ask towards the end of August is to Coach Mirabal is, who's the 10? You know, and you hope he gets to 10. Right now, I think he's probably at 7 or 8. So Miami will need to develop another 2 offensive linemen because you want to roll into a season with 10 guys. And I think McCoy was not there in the spring. He will be in the thick of it in the fall. And they will have competition this entire offseason, and competition will go probably up until 10 days before that Notre Dame game. So I think, you know, this having Brockemeyer here, he was a pleasant surprise. And, you know, he came from a football family. Heck, his dad, I think, was in the league for 9 or 10 years. And he was at Alabama and got some excellent coaching there. And then he made a move from Alabama. Then he comes to Miami. And he's going to allow he has stepped in and is exactly what you want for that position.
Despite being stopped on the goal line, I thought Fletcher looked good in the spring. I thought Lyle also looked good in the spring. And then in the game on Saturday, the freshman Pringle, you can see where he kind of reminds me of where Lyle was a year ago at this time. But I think Pringle is going to position himself to get an opportunity to contribute to this team in the fall.
Yeah, no, I think so. And let's be honest about it. They might need to go get another back if they can. You know, you'd like to come into the fall with five guys. Now, you know, they're going to do – Miami's going to – Shannon Dawson's going to do a great job of making sure guys get carries. They're not selfish with that. And I think that Coach Merritt's done a phenomenal job, the running back coach, of making the players understand that we're not going to burn you out. We're not going to run up carries on you and make your life difficult and beat you up. And you're going to need all these backs during the season. And what I like about them is that they all create different issues for the defense, but they're also, all of them are well-rounded enough to where they can do everything. And for the younger guys, the most important thing is how do they handle pass protection? And if they have the confidence of Shannon Dawson and Coach Merritt on that, then they'll be fine.
The transfer portal opens up again this week. Mario Cristobal says it's open all the time, which I understand what he is saying about that. I do think that it is going to be worth watching Emery Williams. He has sat for 2 years. This is year number three. He knows he's the backup right now behind Beck. He's hired another agent. He's hired an NIL agent. That's what people are saying. People need quarterbacks. So I wouldn't be surprised if something happens there with Emery. I don't know what his thinking is. I know he's got great leadership in his family. So we'll see what happens with Emery Williams. And that being said, I did think that Luke Nickell did a lot of good things in the spring game.
Luke Nickell did a whole bunch of good things during the spring game. Now you got to realize, you know, was it against the threes and was it against the twos? But there's no question that Luke Nickell will play at a high level in college football. I believe that. As far as Emery Williams goes, I believe that Emery Williams is, I look at it this way. If he's going to hire an agent and he's going to go see what his worth is and test the market, I guess is the how they look at it these days, and that's a part of the business. But there's also another side of it. You know, Emery Williams came in, and he'll be going into his third year. And let's say how it works out, how it's supposed to. Carson Beck is the starter. Miami wins a bunch of football games. He goes and gets drafted in the first round, and now you have a battle a year from now on who's going to be the starter. Well, wherever you go, if you're Emery Williams, no one's going to crown anybody the starter. There's always going to be competition. And Emery Williams, if you're trying to grow into an NFL football player at the quarterback position, what can be better for you than you sat behind Tyler Van Dyke and then you got a year behind hopefully the first pick in the NFL draft in Cam Ward. I know, and you know, that I saw the influence Cam Ward had on Emery. I see his personality has changed. I see the way that he runs the huddle. I see the way he runs the offense. It was helpful for Emery to be around Cam. Now you have Carson, who he learns from Carson. And now, how bad is it, Joe? You and I grew up around this deal, and I played in this deal where the quarterbacks were stacked up. You know, it's the Kelly, it's the Vinnies, Kelly, Bernie, Vinny. You know, championship wins, and that's the way. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's money involved these days, and there's patience involved, and it's easy to transfer and this and that. I honestly don't know what's going to happen. I'd like to see the young man stay. I'd like to see him continue to get better. I appreciate what kind of player he is. I know that the team respects him, and I'd like to see him develop into a great quarterback.
Well, I think what happened to Tennessee, that is going to have a trickle-down effect on how a lot of people, especially quarterbacks, think during the offseason. The guy for Tennessee went through a holdout. Now, they had a breakup there with Tennessee, so we'll see what happens with Emery Williams. I'm with you. I hope he stays and continues to develop. but I won't be surprised which direction it goes. If it, whatever direction it goes, I'm not going to be surprised. When we come back, Don and I will talk more about spring football, also dive into what's going on or what happened in spring around the ACC. Plus, coming up on the show, Alex Dono with a preview of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. They had their blue gold game or their blue game on this past Saturday, and they are in the on-deck circle for the University of Miami. So much more Hurricanes football coming up. All right, let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, of course, the general manager Jeff Rogers, Jermaine Chambers over there, and Reggie, he can get anything done for you. Williamson Cadillac, nobody does it better when it comes to customer service. That's why they've been in business for over 50 years, and they treat their customers like family. They stay focused on the customer experience. That's why customers go back to Williamson Cadillac time after time after time. Now, whatever you're looking for when it comes to a Cadillac, they have the entire family of Cadillacs available. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the all-new electric Lyriq. Whatever reason you want to go out for a drive. If you want to drive for performance, you want to drive for range, or you want to drive to make a grand entrance, or you want to drive in comfort, it's all at Williamson Cadillac. Easy to find Williamson Cadillac, located on US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com and check out the entire inventory. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle, you want to get the most out of customer experience, then you got to go to Williamson Cadillac for your new Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Happy to welcome you back on the show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Alex Dono joins us coming up. Before we go around the ACC, now we have this window between spring and the beginning of summer practice, fall practice, whatever we call it, training camp. So we know the portal is open. What are the other priorities for Mario Cristobal?
Well, it's always, Joe, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. It's always making sure that guys that are not healthy are 100% healthy. But you want to continue to grow your team physically. You want to continue to improve on the conditioning aspect of it. You know, Coach Feld has done a phenomenal job. These guys have lost a lot of body fat, and they're getting in better condition. And I think that's going to be a big push between now and August, because you have to make sure that you're in elite condition coming into the season so you don't start going downhill once November comes. That November, December is going to be as important now as anything. So you're going to have to get the most you can get in now, but also manage it differently during the season so you can finish strong. And the other part of it is the guys continue to get reps as far as watching film on their own and get reps out on the field and continue to become a better football team.
Okay, quick look around the ACC of the teams that Miami is going to encounter this year, and it starts with Florida State. Their spring is done. Their offensive line a year ago was a disaster. Obviously, the quarterback was also a disaster. They've got a new defensive coordinator. They need pass rushers. But it's really hard, I think, to rebuild an offensive line in an offseason.
Well, the normal rule of thumb for that is that if a championship team is going to come in, you want to have 100 starts. Well, Miami's not going to have 100. They're going to have, 25, and then 30, and then to 12. So, I mean, they're going to have good numbers. But Florida State, they lost a lot of guys. They don't have a lot of guys in the system. And the thing is now, if you go to the portal at this point, now you can only teach that offense in theory when you show up for fall camp. So you're not going to get a whole lot of guys that have worked together, taken snaps together, that have the ability to communicate. You can get a lot done between now and then, but those 15 days made a big difference in the spring. And then even more so if you were able to play in a game last year, Well, that's really what you want.
Hurricanes play Louisville on a Friday night. Louisville last year averaged 36 points a game. They've had 19 wins in their last 2 years. You know their offense is always explosive. New quarterback Miller Moss. Their secondary has been completely revamped with a bunch of transfers. But there is one guy for sure coming back. Or two, actually. One of them I was hoping would transfer. Isaac Brown is back in the backfield. And they got another kid, Duke Watson. And he was equally as explosive as Isaac Brown. So those two guys in the backfield will be a nightmare when they come to Hard Rock Stadium on a Friday night.
Well, they're going to be a nightmare before that. Yeah, yeah, they were. I was impressed with Brown last year. And let's face it, Coach Brom comes from the Howard Schnellenberger tree. And he's going to have – he runs about as good an offense as you can have, and it creates a lot of issues, and they're well-coached, and they're prepared. But their defense has been impressive as well over the last couple of years. So Louisville will give – is not only going to give Miami challenges, but they'll give everybody on the conference a challenge. And they just are a tough, hard-nosed team. And, you know, they're like I said, it's that Schnellenberger way, and – you know, Coach Cristobal's got that in his system as well. And it always makes for a very, very, very good battle when battle for the boots, I guess, is really what the trophy is. But that's going to be a tough football game. But they lost a quarterback, too, now. It's supposed to get drafted. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
NC State went 6-7 last year, their first losing season. Since 2019, C.J. Bailey, the kid from Chaminade, is their quarterback. Their offensive line surprisingly struggled last season. Dave Doran always good with the offensive line. The new offensive coordinator, Kurt Roper, he was at Duke for a while. Bailey, the quarterback, good-looking player. But NC State, always big and physical. They come to Hard Rock Stadium.
You know, I'm glad that we have them at home. It's a tough place to play there. You know, when you're on the road, that joint, they're loud and it's aggressive, and not a lot of people have a lot of luck there. And I think it was a little bit of a disappointment that NC State didn't have a winning season this year. I think a lot of people had them pegged last year to win 8 or 9 games. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. There were some injuries and then some quarterback play as well. But I think Dave Doran, when you look overall what he has done, and where he's done it, he's been very, very successful, and he always puts a great product on the field.
Late in the season, Miami plays Virginia Tech. Drones is back at quarterback. They were 6-7 last year, but they got raided in the transfer portal. They got a bunch of players taken off their roster. They did get Donovan Green from Wake Forest to transfer in. Green's a big, tall wide receiver. They lost the running back, Tootin. He's in the draft. Drones is back, but their roster is upside down. However, late in the season, going there in November, that's always a challenge.
You know, Joe, that's the biggest part of that game that bugs me is, you know, it's going to be second to the last game of the year. It is on the road. I'm sure it's going to be at night, you know, if they can make it happen. And it's never been an easy place to have success. And, you know, it was very, very difficult under Coach Beamer. And even now, you put up a list of places where you don't want to be, especially in November, that's one of them. But they've been, as you mentioned, they were raided, but they'll go replenish themselves. And, you know, Bud Foster, the famed defensive coordinator, is back on staff there. He's not one of the 10 coaches, but he's back on staff in administrative role. And I think that was a very smart move for them to do, to bring him in. And because there was a tradition at Virginia Tech that you and I saw for many, many years, all the way back to the Big East. And it doesn't take much to get them rolling. I mean, they get a bunch of tough kids there, and they can coach them up. If they can get a little skill and a little luck at quarterback, they can make life miserable, especially in Blacksburg.
Hurricanes will play Stanford this year. They went 3-9, fired their coach a couple of weeks ago. four straight three-win seasons, allowed 33 points a game last year. Miami will also face Syracuse. Syracuse comes here. A lot of people are looking forward to Miami going to Dallas to play SMU. And Rhett Lashley, 29-12 in 3 years, 11-3 last year, averaged 36 points. Chris Johnson transfers to SMU. I think they believe he can replace Breshard Smith, but they had one heck of a season a year ago, ACC championship game, only to lose on a miracle field goal.
Well, you know, Coach, Rhett Lashley, we know very well from his time at Miami. I'm happy for him that he's having success. I looked at the schedule for Miami, and I've been to Pittsburgh when it's cold, and I've been to Virginia Tech when it's cold. I don't think everybody realizes, you know, except for maybe you and I, that it might be just as cold in Dallas, right, in early November. Playing them at home will be a big advantage for the Ponies, and, you know, you've got an assortment of former Hurricanes that seem to find their way to SMU and have successful careers. And it's going to be a challenge for Miami to go there on the road. That the whole month of November is going to be a challenge for Miami. But I think it'll be a very good football game. Rhett Lashley has always had success on the offensive side of the football. And last year, they had some good games defensively as well. So, you talk about his 29 wins in 3 years. I don't see them falling off a cliff. I think that they're going to be a very, very tough team, and they're well coached, and they've got all the support that they need.
Speaking of falling off a cliff, in 21 and 22, Pitt won 20 games. They got off to a 7-0 start last year, only to finish the season with a six-game losing streak. And that's where Miami finishes the season, at Pittsburgh. And oddly, they did not have a really good offensive line a season ago.
Yeah, Pitt was a strange deal to me. I mean, they put it on Syracuse. They picked that quarterback off, I want to tell you, three times, for sure twice. And it's going to be interesting for me to see what they do this year. And, you know, they build that defense, you know, around their head coach, and he likes it a certain way. And they've gone out and really gone to a faster-paced offense. But that's not going to be an easy game for Miami, though. You know, right after Thanksgiving, and you're going to be sitting up there in the cold, and it's – well, you know, last time Miami – not one of the times Miami went up there was under Coach Rick, and we were undefeated, and we couldn't cut – Miami couldn't come out of there with a win. So it's a tough place to play, and it'll be interesting, especially that time of year.
Okay, we got 4 months to rest up. In 4 months, it's Miami and Notre Dame. You ready for the Irish?
Today. Today. That's how much better September is Don Bailey going to have? He's got the Gator and he's got the Irish. I mean, it can be a Christmas in September for me.
We'll check in on Notre Dame. That's Don Bailey Jr. When we come back, we'll have a preview of Notre Dame's spring and a little preview of that matchup, what the Irish are thinking about, as Alex Dono joins us on the show coming up next.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show. On Sunday night, August the 31st, the University of Miami will kick off the season against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Notre Dame, of course, in last year's championship game came up short, losing to Ohio State. The Irish played in the Orange Bowl game at Hard Rock Stadium a year ago in the semifinals, and they just completed their spring. Their spring game was this past Saturday. Alex Dono handles our post-game show on our broadcast, and Dono joins us now with a preview of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame.
The season opener is going to be here before we know it, and for Miami, this is not going to be a warm-up game. Right out of the gates, the Hurricanes will be hosting an old school rival and the national runners-up, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And we have the privilege of being joined now by my colleague at the Locked On Podcast Network. I host Locked On Canes, and we got the host of Locked On Irish with us, Tyler Wojak. And, you know, Tyler, it seems like it's been an exciting spring for Notre Dame to this point, because there's a competition at quarterback. How's that going?
It's a legitimate three-man competition. And I feel like, you know, sometimes when you have a three-man competition, that probably means you don't have one good quarterback in the room, but that is certainly not the case in this instance. And it's kind of funny to think about how far the Notre Dame quarterback room has come in the last few years. Like, I'm not that far removed from watching Drew Pine trot out there and try to lead that team back in 2022. So all Notre Dame fans understand what we went through during that season, but it's a much different place now for that quarterback room. So you've got Steve Angeli, who's been the backup for the past two seasons. He's been around the program. This will be his fourth season. He'll be a redshirt junior, and he's just been waiting his time to have a chance to be the starting quarterback. He was like a low four-star out of high school, didn't have a ton of hype, but then behind him, you've got Kenny Minchie, who is kind of like the oft-forgotten name in this battle because he didn't come with the same like recruiting pedigree as CJ Carr, who I'll get to in just a second here, but he's very good. Like, he participated in the Elite 11 when he was in high school, kind of a under-the-radar guy, but I think he has a chance. He's the most mobile of any of those guys. And then there's redshirt freshman CJ Carr. He is the grandson of Lloyd Carr, the national championship winning coach at Michigan. He came in with a ton of hype, and Notre Dame fans have been waiting for the CJ Carr era to start for a long time. He redshirted last season. This is his first legitimate chance at starting, and he has a real chance to win the job. So you've got the grizzled veteran who's been waiting his time, the under-the-radar guy who can really move, and then the young up-and-coming star in CJ Carr. And right now, it's anyone's guess as to who's going to win.
Now, if I made you guess, Tyler, if I made you guess, who do you think is going to be the starter come late August?
Because Notre Dame is playing on the road against a good team in Miami, I think it's going to be Steve Angeli. If they were opening up against like Tennessee Tech, or I shouldn't say a MAC school because we can't beat MAC schools. So I shouldn't say, you know, maybe Northern Illinois or someone like that. But no, if because Notre Dame is going up against Miami and it's going to be a hostile environment against a really good team, I think that they will go with Steve Angeli. Now, will he start the rest of the season? We'll see, right? I think they're going to give him a chance to at least start the season, because then, you know, not only does Notre Dame start against Miami in the season opener, they got Texas A&M 2 weeks after that. So that is a brutal start to the season for whoever they pick to be the starting quarterback. Steve Angeli has certainly played a lot more than any of these guys in that room. He started in the Sun Bowl a couple years ago when Sam Hartman opted out. He actually came in during that game against Penn State in the college football playoff right before the end of the first half. He led Notre Dame down the field to kick a field goal that honestly kept them in that game. And I think the poise that he showed, coincidentally enough, in Hard Rock Stadium, I think is going to be one of those things that helps secure that starting job for at least the first couple games. Then we'll see if maybe one of those younger guys can beat him out after that.
The Irish just coming off such a tremendous season. I know it didn't end with the happy ending, but it was an incredible run, national runners up. And the defense, of course, was a huge part of that. Defensive coordinator change with Al Golden off to the NFL, Chris Ash taking over. How many changes do you expect on defense, Tyler? Is there going to be a system change, or is it going to be somewhat status quo from last year?
Well, I can tell you Chris Ash wants you to believe that it's going to be as close to the Al Golden system as possible, and that they're just going to try to enhance the little things. And I think that is kind of the expectation that Marcus Freeman set for him when they were doing the job interview process, because the interesting thing about the Chris Ash hire, and really you compare it to any other coordinator hire in the country, offense or defense, usually when you bring in a coordinator, they're going to bring in some of their guys, right? Whether it be a DB coach or, you know, whoever the case may be, just members of his support staff. Like, that really didn't happen with Chris Ash, because the defensive line coach returned, the linebackers coach returned, and the defensive backs coach returned, all from the past few seasons that have been at Notre Dame. So like, the foundation is already there, and then they just bring in a new guy to be the leader of all those guys. And I think if you're in that position, you don't want to come in and scrap everything, especially when you consider how well it worked for Notre Dame these past couple seasons. So I think you're going to see a similar 4-3 aggressive look for Notre Dame. You're going to see some tweaks, obviously. You know, we could get into like the real nitty gritty details, like about technique and where guys are lining up and, you know, who's going to come in different personnel packages. But I think overall, if you're just, you know, a casual observer of Notre Dame football, the defense is going to look very similar to what it did under Al Golden.
You know, Miami versus Notre Dame, Notre Dame versus Miami, however we want to say it, or Catholics versus convicts. They made a documentary about that. Like, this, you know, in the 80s, this thing got so, so bitter. You know, I'm barely old enough to kind of remember the tail end of that. I'm sure you're way too young, Tyler, to remember that stuff. But I mean, this, I feel like this game does mean something. And I'm sure in the buildup to the matchup, I remember a lot of this back in 2017, the last time, you know, they squared off. And Miami and Notre Dame are going to see each other more often now because of the ACC concessions to the, you know, the top programs in the conference. So, I mean, what does it mean to Notre Dame and to the fan base to be opening up against an old school rival like Miami?
Well, personally, I wasn't stoked when I found out that they were opening against Miami because they already had that tough game against Texas A&M in the season opener. So I was like, man, they're really doing back-to-back because Notre Dame opens against Miami. I believe that's going to be on a Sunday, right? And then they have a bye, and then they have the home opener against Texas A&M. So the first two games of the season, there was no buffer in between them. It's Miami, and then it's Texas A&M at home. And those are two very good teams. But I'm just glad that they're playing Miami every year again. Like, Notre Dame has this weird open marriage with the ACC. And no offense to, like, the Wake Forest fans out there, but I'm good on watching Notre Dame play them or some of the other teams in the lower tier of the ACC. So if they're going to play the ACC teams, I want them to play Clemson. I want them to play Florida State, and I want them to play Miami. And I feel like, you know, we've heard a lot, at least I have growing up, my dad, big Notre Dame fan, all that stuff. Like, I've heard about those great games against Miami in the past, but they haven't, I mean, they played, but none of the games have been that great. In 2017, that felt like it was going to be an awesome game, and then Miami ran them out of the building. Like, that wasn't even close. So we haven't really had a chance to see Miami and Notre Dame go up against each other when both teams are good and they play like that. So I'm hoping to see something like that on Sunday in late August, because I do think it's going to be an awesome game.
Yeah, Sunday night college football. I'm going to have to get used to saying that as well. That is an odd one, but we certainly appreciate the insight here from Tyler Wojak, Locked On Irish. He does a tremendous job. I host Locked On Canes. He hosts Locked On Irish, and I know he and I are going to reconnect much closer to that season opener. I can't wait for that. Tyler, thank you so much for the time.
No problem, man. Happy to join anytime.
Okay, thanks to Alex Dono and Don Bailey Jr. We're back on the show next week here on WQAM. For our producer, Trevor Harris, I'm Joe Zagacki. Thanks for joining us, and have a very pleasant good evening.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.